Let us pray together, precious God. We thank you again and again and again for allowing us this opportunity, for again bringing us into this house. Lord, we pray because we know that you will hear and answer our prayer. We thank you, God, for another chance to stand and declare the words of life, for blessing us in spite of us, for the forgiveness of our sins, for your mercy and your grace. Now, Lord, I pray that you will send preaching power, that we might stand before this people. Pray, God, that as you speak to me, I will in turn speak unto them. This is our prayer, Lord, because we know that it is your will that every man and woman, boy and girl, would be saved. Send, God, the words of salvation, that when we have heard from you, we shall respond by surrendering our lives unto you. In the precious name of Jesus, we do pray. Let the redeemed of the Lord say amen,
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 and amen.
Amen.
In your hearing, Reverend Mitchell has read to you earlier from Luke chapter 19. And we want to again focus our attention on those verses. I just want to lift up one verse in the reading too. The Bible declares in verse 37 of chapter 19, as soon as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, and shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Would you do me a favor this morning and put a smile on your face? Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. What hast thou people done? Smile, look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor."
Neighbor.
Oh, that ain't all of y'all. Neighbor.
Neighbor.
Pastor's going to preach.
Pastor's going to preach.
The price.
Of popularity.
Amen. Price of popularity. I want to say to you this morning that you should be very careful about your desire to be popular. You must understand that when you desire to be popular, the center of attraction, or as the infamous words would go, the life of the party, you must be careful because there is a price that comes with popularity.
Yes,
you have to understand that I'm not in any way discouraging you from being nice or the desire to be known. Matter of fact, the desire to even be well known. That's not my intention, but it's nice to be known.
Yes.
You know, and it's nice to be well liked by a few. And certainly the words of God do declare that in order for you to have some friends, you're going to have to make yourself friendly. Beloved of God, think it not strange when folks stay away from you, when you always look like you sucking on lemons, always talking about you got a headache, always talking about what's wrong with you. Nobody wants to hang around anybody like that. No, nobody wants to be associated with a sourpuss. Look at your neighbor and tell them, smile sometimes.
Amen.
I must be on to something here. You have to understand that it doesn't hurt to be nice. I don't understand the meanness and the madness of modern times, but You must at least try to be somewhat accommodating in order to fit in. Amen?
Amen.
And sometimes there are those who know you, you know, and there are those who know about you. And there's a difference, and you and I both know that many of us that want to be known and want to be well known, and then those who know us and know about us. But I'm going to tell you now, even when you're well known, everybody don't like you.
All right.
And I want you to understand that everybody doesn't love and adore you. Mm-hmm. Nice as you are, sweet as you've been, pretty as your hair is, smelling all good, dressed nice. Everybody don't adore you. And be honest with you, and this ain't going to take long today. To be honest with you, even some of those folk that are hanging with you and hanging around you don't really like you. Am I right about it? Yes, Lord, there are those who are always singing your song, and every time you turn around, they're right there smiling in your face. I believe the OJs. And I got proof. Amen. They said, beware the handshake. Y'all know that song. Don't sit here and act like all y'all listen to is a Mahalia Jackson. But I want you to understand that there are those who often don't like you because of bad information. Yeah, they don't like you because folk are saying things about you that aren't true. They don't like you because your reputation that precedes you is intimidating to them. And maybe that's the problem that Jesus has. Maybe, just maybe, that's the problem that he has with the local establishment, is that they don't like him because of his reputation. You do know that the word got out that there was a healer in town. The word got out that Jesus was performing even greater works than John the Baptist. Word was out that whenever Jesus showed up, things would happen. Word got out that he was the one who called himself Son of the Living God. And maybe that's why they didn't like him, because they didn't appreciate the fact that he had a reputation. Matter of fact, we might as well go on record and even look at the first three particulars. That one is that certainly he would have been one that you could have called the life of the party. You do remember the wedding feast, don't you? You know, folk act funny when you run out of beverage at a feast. Amen. Y'all don't go that deep with that now. But the Bible indicates that when they run out of beverage, they sent for the master. Notice, Ophelia, that it was his own mother who sent him the instructions of the day. They have run out of wine. Y'all wouldn't know nothing about that. But she said to him, she told his helpers, give him the water pots.
All right.
And suddenly when the governor of the feast tasted this product, the record indicate that he said, y'all saved the best for last.
Yeah.
Isn't that how Jesus is? When everybody else tried to play you cheap, the Lord always saved the best for last.
Yeah.
I'm talking to somebody this morning that they said you wasn't going to turn out to be nothing. Because your daddy wasn't nothing, your granddaddy wasn't nothing, your uncle ain't nothing. But I'm telling you that whenever the Lord shows up, he has a way of taking water and turning it into wine. He has a way of taking the least of us and bringing out the best in us. That's how he is, and maybe that was the problem they had with him. And then again, you must look at him and understand that maybe it was his reputation with women that caused him such a problem. Stay with me now. You do know that he had an encounter with a woman who was known to have a shady reputation. You do know that when you hang around folk like that, folk generally associate you as being of the like same character. Amen. And maybe it was a problem, Lee, that when he was talking with her after everybody else went off, maybe they thought he should have left too, but it was a private conversation. And when folk can't hear what you're saying, they make up what they think you're saying. So maybe because they couldn't hear what he was saying to her, maybe they thought he was writing his phone number in the dirt so that she could call him a little later. You know how that goes. Maybe they thought that Jesus was giving her some secret instructions as to meeting him later. But I'm here to tell you now, I believe what he wrote in the dirt was, baby, if you live right from now on, you can meet me on the other side. Oh, I wish I had a praying church. Maybe it was because he didn't understand that the woman who touched the hem of his garment touched him in such a way that the Bible would declare that even virtue itself took a holiday from him. Sometimes when you hang around too many women, folk call you a womanizer. So maybe that was a problem they had with him. Maybe. But it might have been also that because he was different. You don't know that sometimes when you're different, folk don't like you. Amen. And what really causes them not to like you, Brother Davis, is that when you used to be like them, and now you're different. You now, you know, you don't hang out as late as you used to. You don't talk like you used to. You don't go to the same places at the rally point like you used to. And now that you've made a commitment unto the Lord, now that you want to walk like Jesus walked and talk like Jesus talk and live like Jesus lived, now they don't like you. And that's the problem maybe they had with Jesus, because he was so different. Whereas they made their office and their place with the Lord a place of personal gain, Jesus was always willing to just give of himself. He said the foxes have their holes, the birds of the air have their nests. He said, but I don't have no place to call my own. And maybe they didn't like that about him, because if you're going to be a somebody, you got to establish yourself as a somebody. Amen. You do know that you can be the richest person in the world, but if you don't have those things that come with richness, they'll think you're poor and impoverished. So that's why they didn't like him. But then again, you have to understand that some of us work too hard at trying to make folk like us. You didn't think I was going to leave y'all out, did you? Some of you go at it too hard trying to make everybody like you. And in trying to make everybody like you, you forget the real you. Amen. When you're trying to be all things to all people, you tend to lose yourself in trying to be what they want you to be. Somebody told you that you look better with your hair cut short, so you went and got your hair cut. Then somebody else told you that, oh child, why you hacked off all your hair, so you went and got a wig or a weave. Then somebody told you, you don't look good in that dress, and that's too tight on you, so you bought bigger clothes. And then somebody told you, look like you're getting fat, so then you got something small to prove you were small. Come on now. They told you they didn't like your shoes, so you changed your shoe. They told you they didn't like your car, you bought another car. Deeper in debt you are now. You bought another house. You moved from this place to that place. Always trying to be what somebody else wants you to be. But I'm here to tell you, as much as you make this side of the room you like you, this side of the room ain't gonna like you. So your best bet is to be all that God wants you to be. And if they don't like what God has made you, then that's too bad for them. And I'm convinced that Jesus demonstrates that as long as you know what God wants you to be, then you don't have any other concern in this lifetime. Because he said that my intention, my goal in life, is to fulfill the works of him that sent me to do the work. And some of y'all work too hard trying to make folk like you. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you got to take me like I am. Oh, my goodness. Tell your other neighbor, you better put up with it too. Amen. But notice though, even when folk take you as you are, I'm not going to be much longer here. You have to understand that there are times when even friendship conceals itself in the disguise of loving relationships. It conceals itself in handshakes and hugs. And even in our text today, it conceals itself in the shouts of Hosanna. One would think that as Jesus makes his way into Jerusalem, that this crowd is in love with him. as you see him straddling the back of a colt and he makes his way into town. Bible said that they are throwing their garments before him. What an interesting scene it must have been to see him riding into town and folk just throwing their garments, taking off their cloaks and tossing them before him, to be trampled underfoot of a four-footed beast, to be trampled underfoot by the beast that he is riding. They're casting down their garments. They're taking palm branches and casting them, strewing them throughout. Can you see it? And they're shouting, Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is the King! They're shouting, and there is a sense of revelry in town. And then there are those who are caught up in the moment. You do know that if you get a party started, there are folk that are not necessarily invited, but will get caught up in the moment. And they're in the city, and they've come down to Passover, and Jesus shows up. And I'm telling you now that you have to be careful about folks celebrating when you show up. Bible indicates that before he makes his way all the way over to Jerusalem, he swings through Jericho. And he runs into a man by the name of Zacchaeus. The Bible said that Jesus breaches protocol and he said to Zacchaeus, hurry up and come down because today I'm going to dine with you. Maybe that's why they got upset with him, Sister Foster. Instead of reporting to the palace, he hung out with Zacchaeus. Mm-hmm. You know, some folk get mad at you because you hang out with other folk, you know. Well. Oh, amen. Yeah, they get upset with you because you didn't come by them first. But I'm here to tell you now, beloved God, that when the Lord called Zacchaeus down from the tree, the Bible indicates that he readily come down and gladly received the Lord in his home. I wonder this morning, if the Lord were to call you down, would you gladly receive him in your home? How many of us would need a few days or a few moments notice to move a few things out of the way before the Lord showed up? How many of us would have to put away our favorite magazines or put away our Kool-Aid out the refrigerator? How many of us would have to go down into the cellar and close that door that had the special lock and key before Jesus showed up? Oh, come on now. How many of us, if the Lord were to require right now that he would dine at your house, that you can take him and say, Lord, come on in. But Zacchaeus come down, and as crooked as he is, because he is a known thief and a tax collector, and Lord knows we ain't got no favor with tax collectors. But he takes the Lord into his home immediately, and notice what happens when Jesus dines with him. First of all, you notice the sense of conviction that comes over him. Because he said, if I've taken anything from anybody, I'm going to give it back to him. Notice also that after the sense of conviction comes, he also displays compassion because he said, whatever I've ruined, I want to restore. I'm wondering this hour, how many of you would be willing to admit that you've messed up some things? And because of the presence of the Lord, you would be willing to go back and right that which is wrong. I'm convinced right now that some of us ought to get up out of the sanctuary and go to the nearest payphone and call some folk and just tell them, I'm sorry. Oh, come on now. I believe, beloved of God, that when the Lord shows up, he brings about that sense of concern and conviction in our lives. And that's why maybe some folk don't want to get too close to him. Because whenever Jesus gets close to you, he changes your life. Am I right about it? That's why I say anybody that's still carrying on and cutting the fool like they always have, and then want to sit in the church on Sunday and act all refined and wave your hand when asked to wave and clap when asked to wave and shout for the other folks shouting, and yet when you leave here just like you came. I'm telling you, you've never been in the presence of the Lord. Because whenever you've been in the presence of the Lord, something in your life is going to change. You can't leave here just like, you can't talk to folk like you used to talk to them. You can't continue to say, you're going to make me lose my religion. Because if you've got any kind of religion at all, that which the Lord has imputed into your body will cause a change in your life. I know I'm right about it. So he makes his way further, and the Bible indicates that then he comes in on his way to Jerusalem. Notice, first of all, I must admit that the Lord demonstrates his authority. Because he tells the disciples, he said, I want you to go down into yonder village. He said, I want you to go and get me a coat and bring it here. That's the kind of authority that Jesus has even in your life. Some of us have a problem when the Lord tells us what to do, then we don't want to do that. Hello, lights. And don't sit here and tell me, well, Reverend, the Lord ain't never said nothing to me. Oh, he speaks in volumes. 66 books worth, he speaks in volumes. And I'm here to tell you now that whatever the Lord says you ought to do, that's what you ought to do. Look at the name and tell him, you better do what he said. Amen. God knows that if the people of God would be obedient to the Lord and do what he said, we certainly would be a better people. Am I right about it? Y'all trying to make me work hard in here today, but that's all right. I'm coming on. I want you to understand that the Bible indicates that when the Lord said go, they didn't ask no questions. They simply went and did what he said. Notice how he also demonstrates his authority by saying that when you get there, somebody's going to question what you're doing. He said, but when you get there and they ask you in regard to the reason for what you do, you tell them that the Lord has need of it. I'm here to tell you right now, beloved of God, that when you're doing things for the Lord, everybody ain't going to understand that. Everybody's not going to understand why you tithe like you tithe. They're not going to understand why you keep going to Bible study. They're not going to understand why you keep going to Sunday morning worship. They're not going to understand why you praise God like you do. They're not going to understand why you wave your hand and ain't nobody else waving. They're not going to understand why you shout when everybody else looks at you like you crazy. They're not going to understand the intensity of your worship. They're not going to understand why you love the Lord with all your heart. But I'm here to tell you that if you love him like you say you love him, don't worry about what folk understand, because I'm here to tell you that the Lord understands. Nobody knows like the Lord knows. And I'm here to tell you that whatever you got to give up for the Lord, whatever the Lord tells you to do, go ahead and do it to the glory of God. Because if you wait on everybody else to approve of what you're doing, you ain't going to never mount to a hill of beans, because there are a whole lot of folk that are nothing but talk, 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 and ain't no action. But if God said do it, go ahead and get it done. I'm here to tell you, even now, there are things that the Lord has sent me to do. I didn't understand why he wanted me to do it, but I went and got it done. And you know what? I was better for it. Say amen, somebody. He also says, when they ask you, just tell them I need it. And I'm here to tell you now that whenever the Lord requires your service, you ought to be willing to serve. I have a problem with selective service when it comes to the people of God. I'm here to tell you now that if you're going to make a commitment to God, then you ought to make your commitment to God. Am I right about it? You can't tell me that the Lord told you to do it sometime. If you're going to sing to the glory of God, you ought to sing all the time. Oh, help me, somebody. No, don't tell me that every now and then I just want to enjoy the singing. Well, if you can't enjoy your own singing, how do you expect anybody else to enjoy it? Come on and say amen with me. I'm telling you now, as much as I love preaching, anytime a preacher finishes preaching, I want to preach. Amen. I don't sit back and say, well, I just enjoy. No. I know what the Lord called me to do. I know what my service is. And whenever I'm given an opportunity to serve God, I will serve the Lord. So he says, tell them that I need it. So they give way to what the Lord says, and they receive this coat and they bring him back to the Lord. Now notice, secondly, after he demonstrates his authority, notice the atmosphere that he generates. The Bible said that he is making his way into Jerusalem. In fact, he's at the descent of the Mount of Olives. Jerusalem was a city that was up. You had to go up to get to Jerusalem. Tell your neighbor, you got to go up to get there. Amen. The Bible says that, now I'm coming on now. The Bible says, first of all, that he's making his way to Jerusalem. There are three things you ought to understand about the Passover. First of all, this is the usual time for Passover. Tell your neighbor, it was a usual time. Passover time was usual, and what the Lord is doing, it was required that all would go. Ever since Josiah's reform, when Josiah reformed the religious order, he made it so that everyone had to come down to Jerusalem in order to celebrate the Passover. So what they did was every person had to pack up his goods and ditty bag, and he had to leave his homeland and come down to Jerusalem in order to celebrate Passover.
Only the good saints went down to Jerusalem, those who were real for the Lord. Only those who really loved him and those who understood Jehovah God would actually make this journey. Some folk thought it unnecessary. Y'all don't hear what I'm trying to say here, so let me go ahead and say it. Only those who are real for the Lord will make their way to the house of the Lord every Sunday morning. Only those who really love the Lord will come to the place that they know the Lord is. Only those who are really genuine for the Lord will do what thus saith the Lord. Those who take an attitude, well, it don't take all that. Well, I'm not going this year, I'll catch y'all next year. I'm not going this Sunday, I'll catch y'all next Sunday. That's not genuine relationship with the Lord. If you can't say amen, say ouch. If you can't say ouch, just look like your shoes too tight. But I'm here to tell you now that everybody went to Jerusalem because Jerusalem was the place to be. I'm here to say now that on Sunday morning, everybody ought to be in the house of the Lord because the house of the Lord is the place you ought to be. Don't sit around and tell me about, I got up at 6:30 to watch Creflo Dollar. I watched T.D. Jakes at 7 and I watched Bishop Patterson at 8:30. I watched all that too, but at 11 o'clock, I'm in Brookville worshiping my God. I don't want to hear that stuff, and I listen on the radio. I'm here to tell you now, the only reason you won't go to church because you're worried they're going to ask you to give a little something in the offering. But if you got to make an excuse before the Lord as to not serve him, I read in the Word where he says, if you disown me down here, I'll disown you before my Father. I'm telling you now, I wouldn't take a chance on not being in Jerusalem. Not only was it the usual time for Passover, but Michael, it was the same usual people. Help me somebody. I don't know why it is that church folk always got to try to maintain the status quo. This way we've always done it, brother pastor. We see not no need to change anything. It's always worked for us. Well, see, that was the problem with Passover. Everybody went and did the same thing. Every time. They probably stayed at the same Holiday Inn. Every time. They came the same route. Took the Jericho Expressway. Got up on the Bethany Bypass. Cut across the 501 to save a little time up the 29. And they showed up in Jerusalem, the same old people. Isn't it funny? How when we come to church, we want to sit by the same old people. Y'all didn't see it coming, but I'm pastor still. Isn't it funny how we come in and we do the same old thing? I've been told that, Reverend, some folk are not happy because the praise team stay out there too long. Well, I believe it's time for something unusual. Some folks say, Reverend, it was all right when you let us out 12:45, 1:00 there a couple of times. Keep up the good work. Well, every now and then you need to hang around for something unusual. Somebody said, I didn't come to the Sunday healing and deliverance service because I didn't know what that was all about. I'm here to tell you that you serve a supernatural, unusual God, and if you're ever going to get that which God has, you got to learn to do something that is unusual. Same folk hanging around year after year in Jerusalem. But then the third thing you must understand is that whenever Jesus shows up, he will upset your routine. Am I right about it? That's why when I come to the house of the Lord on Sunday morning, Reverend Johnson, I don't know what the Lord's going to do, but I do know he's going to do something. That's why when I come in and there's a kind of glory is hovering over this place, I don't know how you feel about it, but as soon as I get in my car on Sunday morning, I start feeling the anticipation of what's going to happen in the worship experience. And that's why maybe, Gwen, that's why some folks look at me funny and wonder why I'm already running and racing. My motor's already fired up because I left home fired up. Some of y'all wait till you get here to try to get fired up. But if you're going to wait to get here to catch up with me, you got a long race ahead of you. Because I'm here to tell you now that when I get up in the morning and I think about the goodness of the Lord and all that he's done for me, I already got a shout in my mouth. I've already got a wave in my hand. I've already got running in my feet because God has been good to me. I don't need no choir to pump me up. I don't need no usher to shake my hand. I just think about the goodness of the Lord. Jesus will upset your routine. Bible said that when he made his way into the city. Now you must understand that There are three things about this city atmosphere that I must identify, and I'll leave y'all alone. First of all, you must understand that they are in the city. Are you listening to me? I can't understand why anybody would come to a place where it's happening. I've already told you that Jerusalem, Brother Tweedy, was the place where it was happening. Why do people come to a city where something's happening? And they want to sit there and prevent anything from happening. Hello, lights. My God, I don't understand how you could have been in a city where folk were celebrating and where the generation of this energy was taking place and yet sit there as if nothing is concerning you. I read in the Word where the Bible says, and all of the multitude. Y'all, is that in y'all Bible? Bible says, and all of the multitude began shouting and praising God. Oh, Brother Johnson, can you imagine what would happen in here if all of the multitude started shouting and praising God? Some of y'all rolling your eyes at me now, but that's all right, because I'm here to tell you, if you don't need him now, just keep on living. But I can imagine what would happen in the house if all of the multitude just started shouting and praising God. I can imagine what would happen. Sickness would get up and walk out of here. Cancer will cancel this arrangement. I can imagine arthritis and rheumatism would have to let go for a while, because it might hurt, but I'm going to do what I can for the Lord. I'm so concerned sometimes when folk make all excuses they can why they won't praise God, when all you got to do is go ahead and praise him. Am I right about it? I know it might seem strange sometimes. It might seem out of order, but I'm here to tell you that there is no order when it comes to worshiping the Lord. Whatever you feel led to do in the glory of God, you ought to go ahead and worship your God. I can't understand why folk come in the house of the Lord, sit there and fold their arms, roll their eyes, won't even pat their feet, won't even say amen. I tell you, God been good to you. You ought to go ahead and show some sign. How in the world you think you got up this morning? How in the world have you been paying your bills? How in the world have you kept your children alive? How in the world did you get breath in your body? It was the love of God. It was the hand of Jesus. Am I right about it? Something getting ready to happen in here. Something getting ready to break loose in here. And I'm so glad. I said I'm glad. I know how to praise my God. Am I right about it? Something's happening in Jerusalem. Not only are they in the city, but the Bible declared that while they were there, they broke out in an impromptu concert. In other words, they didn't wait for the choir to start singing. Bible said they started singing Hosanna in the highest. I'm here to tell you now, you may not sing well enough to be in a choir, but when the Lord shows up, you gotta have a song in your heart. Am I right about it? If you don't sing nothing else but Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. You may not want to sing Amazing Grace, but I know you can sing another song. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go in the house of the Lord. So you might want to sing, what a fellowship, what a joy divine. I'm leaning on an everlasting arm. I'm so glad. I said I'm glad. I learned how to lean and depend on Jesus. Maybe you can't sing that song. Maybe you've been waiting for a while. Been standing by the side of the road, waiting on the Lord to show up. Well, I've got just a song for you. Y'all don't mind if I give you your song. I can see you breaking out and swing low. Sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Come on and let me ride. I'm so glad this morning they broke out in a concert. The Bible said while they were celebrating that the master was crying. I'm going to sit down here for a minute, but he was crying. I'm here to say, beloved God, you ought not make him cry. The Lord said he wept over the city because they didn't understand the time that was at hand. I want to tell y'all church folks something this morning. Some of y'all sitting here ain't moved since you've been here. Maybe you don't understand the time that's at hand. Maybe you don't understand that this might be your last time. You don't understand that as the Lord makes his way toward Calvary, he's on his way up to Jerusalem. I want y'all to understand as I get ready to take my seat that the Lord is crying because of their inconsistency. I'm here to tell you now that you can't come in on one Sunday, jump and stump mud holes in the carpet and knock over furniture, and then on the next Sunday try to sit here all refined. I'm here to tell you that it's the same God that brought you last Sunday. It's the same God that brought you this Sunday. It's the same God that put breath in your body. He's the same God that carries you on tomorrow. Am I right about it? I'm here to tell you that their inconsistency brought about a concern unto the Lord. Now why is the Lord concerned? I'm so glad you asked, because I just got to tell him one of the reasons that the Lord is concerned. Because the word said that he came to seek and save that which was lost. Well, I want to replace the word that and say that he came to save they that were lost. Anybody in here know that you were lost one time? Oh, come on and raise your hand. The Bible says that the Lord came to save they that were lost. Now notice, Deacon Davis, it's in the affirmative voice. In other words, the Lord said, my mission will be successful. I came to seek and to save. Anybody know the Lord's been looking for you? Look at your name and tell him he's looking for you. You must understand that the purpose of the ministry is to seek and to save. Not only that, the reason the Lord's crying, but he's also crying because the Bible says that the Lord must reign over them. In other words, what I'm telling you now is heavy is the head that wears the crown. But I'm so glad that my Lord wants to reign. I'm so glad that he wants to reign over us. In other words, he still sits high and still looks low. Am I right about it? Aren't you glad this morning that the Lord said, I must go up? I want to tell y'all right now that first of all, he goes up to Jerusalem because it's Passover time. Secondly, he goes up to the upper room to prepare for the Passover dinner. Then not only does he go up to the upper room, I'm getting ready to sit down now. So if you go help me, you better come on in the house. But the Bible said that when he goes to the upper room, that when they leave the upper room, he goes up to the Mount of Olives. He goes up to the Mount of Olives to pray. Can y'all see a chain of events here? First of all, it's up to Jerusalem because it's Passover time. It's up to the upper room because it's Passover feast time. It's up to the Mount of Olives because it's prayer time. But I've got one more place to tell you. There's one more up we got to take care of. There's one more level you got to go through. The Bible says that he goes up to Calvary. Why does he go up to Calvary? Because it's payment time. Anybody know that all your sins have been paid for? Anybody know that he washed? I said he washed all your sins away. Anybody know that the blood came streaming down? Aren't you glad this morning that the blood came streaming down? I wish I had somebody that knows what I'm talking about. I'm so glad. I said I'm glad he went up to Calvary's mountain. I'm so glad they put the nails in his head. I'm so glad. I said I'm glad that he stayed right there. He goes up to Calvary to pay for my sin. I was sinking deep in sin, never to ride no more. But Jesus, I said Jesus, went up to Calvary's mountain. I may not have been in Jerusalem that day. I may not have been able to cast my garments to the Lord. I may not have been able to cut down my palm branches. I wasn't there to shout Hosanna. But next time when he comes, I said next time when he comes, I'll be right there. I'm going to shout hallelujah. I'm going to shout hallelujah. I'll be right there. I'll be right there. When he cracks the sky, I'll be right there. When all his glory shall be revealed, I'll be right there. As he comes riding in, and I shall say unto him, ride on, ride on, ride on.
Ride on, my conquering king. Ain't gone all right. I can't wait. I said I can't wait to see my Jesus. I can't wait to hold his hand and tell him thank you. Tell him thank you, cause you've been so good. Hadn't the Lord been good to you? Hadn't the Lord been good to you? Ain't God alright? Ain't alright? Can you say yeah? Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. Ride on. Ride on. Ride on. Come on, King Jesus. Come on, King Jesus. Come on and see about me. I've been waiting for a mighty long time. Come on, King Jesus. Come see about me. Come on, King Jesus. Ride on. Ride on. Say it. Say it. I can't wait. I said I can't wait. I'm casting down my garments. I'm casting down my palm branches. Come on, Jesus. Anybody been waiting on the Lord? Anybody been waiting on the Lord? Ain't God alright? Ain't he alright? Can you say yeah? Say yeah. Say yes. Yes, Lord. The price has been paid. Yes, Lord. He is my King. He is the joy of my salvation. Yes, he is. For God I live because he died. One thing I've come to learn about Jesus is no matter what happens in your life, as long as he's in your life, he'll make everything all right. Am I right about it? He'll make everything all right. He comes. He comes. Can you see him? Can you see him? Oh, for God's sake, you gotta see him. Can you see the madness in the city? All folk are standing, they're running, they're shouting. Even the Pharisees have come out to see what all this noise is about. And Jesus said, if you can't stand on your feet, that's all right, because the rocks will cry out. You don't have to praise him. No, no, you ain't got to do nothing. There's a rock to take your place. But I don't need no rock. I don't need no rock. You got to understand that he's worthy of your praise. I said he's worthy of the praise. The Bible said the whole city, everybody, Lottie Dottie, everybody was praising God. The whole city. Oh, for the love of God, if we can get a whole city in scripture to praise, why can't we get a whole church to praise God? Somebody ought to stand on their feet and give God! Give God! It don't take a whole... Oh, come on and praise the Lord! He's worthy! He's worthy! He's worthy! Oh, come on. Come on and praise him. You. And you. And you. And you. And you. Have got so much to be thankful for. You got, come on, you got so much to be thankful for. You could have been dead. You could have had a stroke, a heart attack. Cancer could have ate you up from the inside out. You could have been run down this morning. The brakes on your car could have failed. You could have been electrocuted trying to turn on a light. But oh, the grace of God. Too many dangers, toils, and snares, both seen and unseen. God has brought you. He brought you. Look at the neighbor and tell him, He brought me. He brought me. This day, here comes your king. Here comes your king. Ride on, King Jesus. Somebody in the house ought to make a decision today for the Lord. Somebody ought to make a decision today for the Lord. If you already know Him in the pardon of your sins, and you've already accepted Him as Lord and Savior in your life, I want you to stand on your feet. I want you to stand on your feet. If you've already accepted Him, He's your Lord, He's your Master, I want you to stand on your feet. Now, if you can't stand, that's understandable. I know I've got some seniors who deserve to be seated. But the Lord knows. Amen. You know what, Sister Bernie, I thank God for you. Because, see, I know how difficult it is for you to stand. But you stood. See, now I got folks sitting here looking at me like I'm crazy. But if you live the oldest, Bernie Leftwich, you have every excuse. But if you're not old as Sister Bernie, and you don't struggle a little piece every now and then like Jesse Davis, you should have been on your feet long time ago. Yeah, I'm coming on in today. I'm telling you now that time is out for all this refined churching. Well, Reverend, you know. No, I don't know. And don't even excuse me like that. And you know, and today, whatever you do, don't come to me today and tell me, well, Reverend, you understand. Because I don't understand. I'm past trying to understand why folk don't worship the God I serve. I don't understand that. No, I don't. But Reverend, I don't do all that, but you could do something. I know I'm right about that. The whole city went out to meet him. You see what their denomination was? The whole city. Everybody. How did they know? I don't know. The word was out. But you know what? It's not an unannounced thing that churches conducted every Sunday. We know that. You know, surprise. That's my Sunday off. Oh, really? Well, what if the Lord took Sunday off? Matter of fact, what if He took the rest of your life off? Well, then that wouldn't be long. You're right, because you die as soon as He said, I'm off. You're dead. He keeps keeping me alive. And some of you are saying to yourself, well, Reverend, okay. You said what you wanted to say. Yeah, that's true. But you know what? I wonder today. Should the Lord show up? Should those doors open right now? And Jesus should enter this house. How many of you would be glad to see Him? I'm looking. I want to know. Let me tell you something. What time is it? I'm going to let y'all go home. Who got a watch? I need to know what time it is. What time is it? Okay. It's 10 minutes after 1. Bless your heart, Mama. Oh, bless your heart. That's all right. Let me tell you, God bless you. Bless you. Let me tell you this. Oh, bless y'all. Amen. God bless you. Let me tell you something. The Lord is seeking they that will worship Him in spirit and truth.
Now you listen to that. The Lord is seeking true worshipers. Don't ever camouflage your worship. Don't change the way you worship because of folk looking at you. Wonder what folk gonna say about you, because you know what? It don't matter. The Bible said that he is the judge who shall make the final decision. I say to you today, make a decision that I will not have rocks crying out for me. I will never again sit in a church, in a worship service, as if I'm almost dead. If I don't do anything else but just wave my hand, I'm going to wave it like it's my last time. If I don't do anything else but cry or shout hallelujah, they're going to know that I love him. I would make my decision today. The whole city went after him. Amen. That's right. Don't wait. Why don't you come now? It's prayer time. Come on. I want you to come and pray with us. Come on. Don't step out. Don't wait on nobody. Sometimes you got to tell folks, excuse me, I'm on my way somewhere. That's it. Sing that. That's nice. Sing that. Come on. In my life. Come on. Amen. In my life, be glorified. Lift your voices. Come on. In my life.